Thank you. God bless. Turn to somebody, shake their hand, and say, "We feel surrendered." You may be seated. I think we will look at the scripture in Matthew chapter 20 and beginning at verse 1. Matthew 20 and beginning at verse 1. And I'm not going to take the time to read all of this scripture, but we will hit the highlights and give us an understanding of what the scripture is about. It talks about the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is a householder, went out early in the morning to hire his laborers into his vineyard. And most of you obviously can identify with this. This is not a new scripture. There are multiple messages have been preached from this portion of scripture. But I would like to make this a viewpoint from a prophetic concept. If we can look at this as prophecy rather than a story. Some say this was a parable Jesus taught. We know the basic structure of this portion of scripture. It's basically a farmer who had a crop and he needed some help with a harvesting crew, and he hired them. Does anybody remember how much did he hire them for? Penny a day. Sometimes we think that's small money. In reality, the word is denarius, and it is the price that you would pay for 10 donkeys. So it's basically an annual salary. So these laborers were doing a year-end work to satisfy them for their entire next year from the wage. And we know that a Jewish day consists of 12 hours at night, which is broken into the watches, the four watches, and then the 12 hours of the day is broken into hours. And it starts at 6 o'clock in the morning and terminates at 6 o'clock at night. So the 6 o'clock in the morning in our clocks would be 0 hour, and 9 o'clock in the morning is third hour, and noon is the sixth hour, 3 o'clock is the ninth hour, and 6 o'clock would be the 12th hour. And understanding all of this background is very important, because Jesus was actually speaking in a dual dimension here, a literal dimension that everybody could understand. Now, right outside of Damascus Gate in Jerusalem is a parking lot about the size of yours out here. And every morning, right at dawn, every person who has a skill comes there. And this goes on today. When I wanted to move one time, I went there early in the morning, found a guy sitting on the tailgate of a six-wheeler truck. And then I looked around and found three of the biggest guys I could find and made a deal to drive the truck and move all of our stuff from point A to point B. You can drive by there and somebody have a little box with electrical tools in it and testers. Another one will have a little box with plumbing things and some glue and rags and things. Most of them have a cut-off grinder, a Bosch or a Hilti cut-off grinder, and they can put the ceramic blade in it and become tile workers or masonry workers, or they can put the steel blade in it and work in concrete doing the re-rod cuts and fits. And so whatever is the need that you might have is in this parking lot that has a large supply of hundreds of men that are there wanting to go to work that day. And you negotiate the price right there, make the deal, go do the work. And end of the day, pay them off, and everybody's happy. Now, with that understood, you also need to look at if this was a grain farmer. The possibilities are that you could call it about anything, and since it was a parabolic speech, it could be applied in any dimension. When I was a teenager, my dad was in Jerusalem as the overseer for the Middle East and North Africa. And so I was a teenager living there, just along for the ride. And so I picked up raw street Palestinian Arabic. And yes, I speak Arabic and get by a little bit in Hebrew and whatever else we might need to do. There are 85 languages are spoken in Jerusalem today. So if you can speak anything, you can get along. And if you can't draw pictures, somebody will help you out. So understanding this, right up the street from the place where we were was a macaroni factory owned by a guy named Fuad. And on the weekend, Fuad was closed, but nobody locked anything. So all of us kids would run in there and play. And we jumped. It's a wonder we didn't get killed, you know, jumping around all over that stuff. Around the big room, he had a shelf built out about 7 feet high, and that's where he threw all of the grain. And I didn't realize it until years later. I'm reading some of the scripture, and a lot of this starts coming back to me. Every one of these bags of grain have different names on them. And so when I looked into this, I found out that what he would do is during the harvest season, they would put all of the grain in the bags, would bring it into this granary and stack it up along the top. Then as the need came, Fuad would pull a bag off of the shelf, put the contents on the grinding machine, and look at the bag and take the money back to that landowner. Each farmer or each owner had his name on the bag, and he would receive his money for that harvest throughout the whole year. So this way there was no monopoly in the market. There was no high season, low season. It's just as it was all agreed to. So was it quite an operation? It went every year this same way. Now, this is obviously the same thing that Jesus was talking about in this verse of Scripture. So when you look at this, you find out that they went out there, he got the laborers, they went into the field. These were probably guys that showed up with just a small cutting scythe, a hand scythe to cut the grain. And they would be issued a bag, and the job deal was fill the bag up for a day's wages and bring it in at the end of the day and get your money. And if you will look at the wording of the scripture, it's very critical to understand that he did not renegotiate a different price by the hour. And the words he actually uses in this text is, we'll make it right with you. Whatsoever is right, you will receive. And so, when you begin to understand this and look at this from a prophetic standpoint, you've got the 12-hour guys, then you've got the 9-hour guys, then you've got 6-hour guys, and then you've got 3-hour guys, and then you got a 5 o'clock crew. And this is the interesting point. Sometimes I've looked back and I've wondered, and I've driven by there at 5 o'clock, and there are some, actually today, still some guys out there trying to sell something, get labor, get some type of a deal going in the last hour. And yet, when this man made this deal, again, with the 5 o'clock bunch, they said, nobody's hired us. And he said, go on, we'll make it right with you. Now, when they're paying, this is very indicative. When they're going to pay, he starts at the last guys first. Right? And how much does they pay them? They get the penny. When he gets back to the first guys, they still get their agreed for penny. They're the only guys out there that's agreed for the wage. And then he says, look, it's mine. I can do with it anything I want. Now, notice the complaint of the 12-hour guys. It was not that they did more work, but they were complaining about conditions. We've borne the heat of the day. What this indicates, if one bag is a day's work, that 5 o'clock crew somehow had the ability to do a 12-hour job in 1 hour. Isn't that what it says? If they got a penny, then they produced a full bag. How they did it was obviously unconventional. They did not follow standard procedure. The Holy Ghost is just doing something in here right now. I subscribe to you that we are in the 5 o'clock hour. It's time to get creative. The probabilities are the reason these guys did not get hired first because they didn't even have tools. And it's probable that they filled that bag barehanded. They didn't look pretty. They didn't stop for a siesta. Obviously, they were a grain blizzard machine. But they knew their next year's livelihood, it was based on what they got done in that hour. It's my feeling that we are in the 5 o'clock hour. It is now time to do things we have never tried before. I'm not talking about compromise the gospel. I'm not talking about watering down, you know, not run a sign outside that we got tithes this week for 9%. No. We're talking about reaching some people with an intensity that we have never expressed before. There's a Holy Ghost move in this room right now. Come on, let's talk to the Lord here for just a minute. Lord Jesus, sweep through here right now, Lord. Let this dynamic of your Spirit begin to settle on each heart. Let's stay in a prayerful mode. Can I get one of those musicians again here? Let me just say this, church. If you've never been involved in missions, there's an hour left. If you've never really won a soul, you got an hour. If you ever really wanted to do something for God, you got an hour. Today is the day. Right now is the time. If you've never received the Holy Ghost, you got an hour. Let's do it today. If you've never been baptized, you got an hour. Let's do it today. Come on, let's stand all over the house right now.
11 hours of pain in your body, you might as well go the last hour pain-free, right? Right over here on this side, you need healing in your body this morning. We have elders, pastors, want to pray with you. You're here this morning and you're struggling with things in life. We all have struggles. We all go through those struggles in life. This middle section right here, if you would please come. If you're looking for a job, maybe you don't have a job, maybe your finances, your marriage, situation with your children. Or if you're here this morning and you've never received or you've never experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost, right over here on this side, we have brothers and sisters, pastors that would love to take and pray with you so you can receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Don't wait another day. We're not guaranteed another minute. You're not guaranteed another hour. So won't you come?